La Jolla, California, UC San Diego Athletics presents TritonCast, the podcast for the UC San Diego Tritons. Here are your hosts, Jeff Toriel and Jenny Stevens.
Welcome to episode 40 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. Alongside Jenny Stevens, I'm Jeff Toriel. Whether you found us on UCSDTritons.com or your favorite podcast platform, we're so happy that you've joined us this week. And if you like what you hear today, subscribe, rate the show, write a brief review. We'd really appreciate that. And you're in for a treat on this episode as we conclude Women's History Month with another great show.
And it's also a special episode because it's Jeff's birthday today. So happy birthday, Jeff.
Oh, thanks, Jenny.
Coming up in this week's Triton Spotlight, we'll chat with longtime UC San Diego women's tennis coach, Liz LaPlante. She reflects on her time leading the Tritons to several Division III national championships, conference dominance in Division II, and the transition to Division I. It's amazing how much she's accomplished in over 40 years as the Tritons head coach. Plus, Liz shares with us her secret to staying in shape, and it's something that we discussed recently back on episode 38. Our conversation with Liz LaPlante comes your way shortly in today's Triton Spotlight.
But first, we go around campus. Cindy Tran was a key contributor to the UCSD volleyball team as a junior in 2018. Then she suffered a knee injury just before her senior season. She rehabbed and stuck around, only to have last season canceled due to the COVID-19 pandemic. How has she stayed so positive? Check out a great story of perseverance on UCSDTritons.com. And while you're there, learn more about the newest Triton All-Americans from the fencing program.
Wow. Seeing our scholar athletes overcome adversity is just so inspiring. Love it. Now it's on to this week's Triton Spotlight. Here's our conversation with longtime UC San Diego women's tennis head coach, Liz LaPlante.
Liz, you grew up in the San Diego area and played collegiately at San Diego State. How old were you, or do you remember how old you were when you started playing tennis?
You know, I think I was around 10. And then started playing tournaments shortly after and, you know, just local stuff. And then got into the Southern Cal tournament swing a little bit later. And then, like you said, played college here. So been playing tennis pretty much my whole life. Thanks to my dad who loved tennis and got us into it.
When you were a youngster, did you play other sports too?
Well, no, because back in the day, girls didn't really play other sports too much, you know. So there wasn't much else for us to do. So tennis was what we did.
And why San Diego State?
Because, you know, 1975 was the first year that girls got scholarships to college. And the coach there offered me a scholarship, which was not a lot because San Diego State wasn't a super expensive school. And my dad, being a junior high school teacher with not a huge income, said, yeah, that's where you're going. And so it was great. We could, you know, stay in town and play locally. So we got a little scholarship money, got our education paid for, which was awesome.
Yeah, that's huge. And was the team San Diego State, was that fairly new at that point, that program?
No, it wasn't new. I can't tell you how old it was, but yeah, it had been around just like all the other sports. So, but just the first year that girls could get scholarships. So that was a pretty great thing for us.
And they were Division I, correct then?
Well, yeah, they were. It wasn't, you know, there wasn't no NC2A. It was AIAW, I believe, athletics for women. So
gotcha.
It might have been all one. I really can't remember that far back, Jim.
And what was your degree in, and what were you planning to do upon graduation?
Well, it was back in the day. It was actually called physical education. Now it's called kinesiology, which makes it sound a lot better. And I also got my teaching credentials. So my plan was to, you know, probably get into the high school and teach and teach PE and coach tennis and had, you know, and then just never really even got a chance. I got my teaching credential and then fell right into this job. So never got to, well, I got my master's up there as well, but, and then just got this job and fell right into it. So yeah.
When you earned your undergrad degree from San Diego State, did you pursue your master's immediately? Was that?
Yeah. Yes, I did. It. Yep.
And then tell us about how you ended up here at UC San Diego, because the versions I've heard are pretty interesting.
Well, I was doing my student teaching at Kearney High School, And my master teacher, as I called them, was very good friends with Judy Sweet, the athletic director, and told me about the job opening. I think someone had been here for a few years at the coaching youth team. And so I went interviewed for the position. I have no idea to this day if there were other people that have applied. And I remember the day very clearly. And she called me back in and said, okay, you got the job. And I've played Division I tennis. I play tennis all my life. I think I have a good handle on this, you know, never knowing that the job would entail, you know, so much more than just the ability to run drills at practice. And so I kind of just grew up. I was 21 years old and pretty much grew up with the team and learned how to coach as I did the job. So, and I haven't regretted a day yet. It's been awesome.
We had Judy Sweet on the show earlier this month. What a fantastic story she has. But she was telling us that at that time, coaches were not full-time employees, which of course totally makes sense. So what else did you do or how did you make ends meet?
Well, I got married in 1983, which was just a few years after. So my husband made money. So that's what we did. And so it didn't really, you know, yeah, the salary wasn't really that important to me. So that's what we did. Yeah.
That's certainly helpful for the department at that time, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. We made nothing. It was pathetic. So,
but you know, you mentioned something that's very interesting that I want to dig a little deeper into. So you graduated in 1979, shortly thereafter, you're the head coach of this program at UC San Diego. So you're not much older than the seniors on the team. How did you learn to command their respect or how did you develop those relationships?
I just had a lot of confidence in myself for some reason. I don't know why, because I didn't really know what I didn't know. So my being naive was kind of a good thing because I didn't feel scared or threatened by the age difference. And I remember I was a lot better tennis players than they were. So I guess that kind of helped and I would get out there and hit with them and play with them. And so I know 1 year shortly after they bought me a funny t-shirt that, you know, said I'm the coach on it so that people would know I was the coach. And I really didn't have the issue. I think they respected me as I respected them as student athletes. And so it was fine. And a few years later, we ended up winning a national championship, which made it really nice.
Yeah, no question. We'll get to that in a moment, but as a new head coach, as you certainly know well now, there's so much more to coaching than actually the matches themselves or practices. What kinds of things were the most surprising to you or took you the most time to adjust to as a coach beyond the actual tennis?
I just think kind of trying to create that team chemistry. I didn't come from a team that really where the coach stressed any of that. And so, you know, when I had girls that maybe weren't behaving well, I wasn't used to that. And so just understanding how to deal with all the different personalities. And then if they're having a bad day or crying and, you know, really having to deal with that, which I still deal with that to this day, but I've gotten a lot better at it. So I think that was probably where I needed to learn the most. And I just kind of learned on the job and trying to make that tight knit group and create that, you know, that team culture, which, you know, back then I don't think we even used the term team culture. But just making sure they were having a good time and we're good friends and supported each other and all that stuff that is so important to us now more so than back then.
In Division III, the program had so much success right off the bat when you were here, 19 NCAA appearances in 21 years. Do you remember the first time you made the NCAAs as a coach and what was that like?
Just made the tournament. Yeah, we pretty much right off the bat started making it. I mean, we had some strong players right in the beginning. And I mean, to be honest with you, I think I was kind of nonchalant about it. I don't know why. I just kind of expected it. And it was not unexpected. So we just, you know, went with it. And I think it was up in Claremont, maybe our first one. And I can't remember how we did the first one, but yeah. And then we just got better and better. And obviously we were a big school compared to some of those small Division III teams, which were in that conference that we played in. And so we really dominated for many years.
Right. And the program continued to have much success, eventually winning national championships. Talk about some of those experiences and what that was like.
Well, obviously that was super exciting. And I'll, you know, remember, I think we started winning them every other year for some reason. We always wanted to win a back-to-back one and we never quite did it. And I just had a wonderful group of girls that played in the late 80s to early 90s when we were winning all those. And, you know, very exciting. I mean, obviously I've talked about this before, but the one that stands out was in 1989 when I was 9 months pregnant at the time. And thankfully Nationals was up in Claremont and we won Nationals on a Tuesday or Wednesday. I stayed and watched a little bit, and on Friday I had my daughter. So I left the girls up there with my assistant coach while they played the individual championships after we had won the team. So that week really stands out in my mind. And now my daughter's 31 years old, so seems like ages ago, but it was very exciting to win those. And the last one we won was 1994, I believe, and that was our last one that we could win in Division III. So, but all very exciting and wonderful groups of girls.
Yeah. I want to ask you about what it was like coaching these young women and then also starting and raising a family. How in the world did you balance that?
I don't know. I know I had three back to back, and actually I had four because I was a surrogate for my sister. So I had four kids back to back, all between 87 through 90, whatever it was. I don't know. I just timed it right. I had good assistance. I had my mom was wonderful in watching the kids. And, back in those days, I said I was a full-time mom, part-time coach, and I somehow managed with no cell phone. We didn't have them. to get it all done. And I was on all the committees. And I remember, sitting there nursing a child while I'm on a conference call and, just kind of what moms end up having to do. So it's kind of a big blur, to be honest with you. And I remember a lot of it, but a lot of it was a blur.
I mean, were you bringing your children to practice at any point and having, built-in babysitters?
No, I mean, a lot of the times my mom, I would take the kids to her house and then she would bring them back up to the courts and, have the exchange the car seats. And then obviously there was preschool and all that. So no, I never brought them to practice. They were always, at school once they got into school. And then I had, neighborhood babysitters who would meet them at the house and meet them at the bus stop because I was always coming home late from practice. So it always worked out somehow. Everyone's still alive.
Well, thankfully.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the growth of the program. So the athletics department moves to Division II in 2000. Your program didn't skip a beat. You were a part of the CCAA conference. You won 7 straight conference titles there. At one point, there were 65 straight conference matches. Do you remember that stretch? And why was the program so successful?
Well, I like to say it was because of me, but I don't think.
Of course.
We just dominated these schools. I mean, there were some good programs. Cal Poly Pomona was, good. Cal State LA. But we always had a lot of depth. And, I clearly remember the match that we lost, though. I don't remember the 65 wins, but we won't talk about the time when we actually lost. But, it was really exciting and always had just amazing groups of girls. And, we were doing something right. So it was a lot of fun.
Do you remember there being, clearly the program was successful and you continued to win in Division II when you moved there, but was there a transition or an adjustment from D3 to D2 that you can remember?
There wasn't too much difference. The top of Division III was always really strong and we were always at the top. And then obviously the very top of Division II was always really strong, but anywhere, if you weren't in the top, we were able to be very competitive. So, we didn't go in and win any national titles at Division II because the very top of Division II, is like a Division I program, all international players, they're on scholarship. And obviously we were playing with no scholarships for all, the majority of all those years. And so we could do great against the smaller schools, but at the top, we never could beat them because they were just all way too good. So, yeah.
Liz LaPlante is our guest on TritonCast this week. In the year 2010, the CCAA stopped sponsoring the sport of tennis. So now you're still in Division II, but an independent. Other than having to schedule more matches, was there anything else that changed?
No, really nothing changed. We just didn't get to have a conference tournament anymore. It just kind of gave me a little more freedom to schedule tougher Division I matches or anybody else that I wanted to schedule. That conference went away just because a couple schools dropped tennis and there weren't enough teams to warrant a conference. They then subsequently, a lot of schools from the NAIA became Division II, and a new conference was developed, but we stayed independent the whole time and didn't join that conference.
In meantime, the university continued to grow. How has UC San Diego changed from when you first arrived to now, besides obviously more bodies?
Well, more bodies, more buildings. I don't know where anything is anymore. but obviously the department's become a lot more sophisticated. Just things have changed so tremendously in all the help that we get, you know, from nutrition to the athletic performance, you know, having Spanos, the amount of money we get. Obviously now we're getting some scholarship money. I mean, it's just changed tremendously in all the staff. So it's a whole different, back in the day, we had to do so much, everything on our own, you know, from ordering clothes to ordering the balls and, you know, but now everything's done for us. So there's a lot more to do, but we get a lot more help, which is wonderful.
How would you assess, how has the game changed in these years? Obviously, you know, now you have Division I athletes as opposed to Division II or Division III, but as far as the sport itself, how has that changed?
Oh, you know, it's become a lot more powerful. As you see from the pros, from the rackets to the string, to the technique, it's a totally different game. And obviously the fitness, everyone's, you know, much more, aware of being fit and strong by going to the weight room. Obviously weight room was not a big deal back in the day. So it's, a much more athletic sport than it used to be, and a lot more fun to play and a lot more fun to watch as well and coach.
So with those adjustments, how has that over time changed the way you coach and or recruit?
Well, I think changed the way I coach. I've had to, you know, change with the sport. I watch a ton of professional tennis on TV because I love it. So I see what they're doing. I see what the girls come in with from pros that they've been taught by. And they all, you know, pretty much have the same style. They don't necessarily have the same ability. And now in Division I, we're just recruiting a lot higher level player, which I continue to have to do to be stronger. But they all have the big modern game. And so it's an easy thing to coach now because they're all coming through with pretty much the same style.
And this is your first year, of course, in Division I. It is obviously for the entire department. Just going through the Big West Conference for the first time, how would you assess the conference as far as how it stacks up?
Well, we've played three of the schools so far, I think. Yeah, three. Everyone's pretty good. And so we're gonna struggle a little bit this year. We have five more matches left. Usually by this time of year, we've probably played about 15 matches, and right now we've played four. So we're missing all that match experience where you really can get a lot of improvement. So our goal this next month of matches is just to improve as much as we can and win some matches individually, whether it's a team score or not, and just make sure that we're implementing everything that we're trying to do in practice. And if we see improvement, then we feel like we've won this year. We're just getting a feel. Some of these schools we've never played before because they couldn't play us because they were D1 and we were D2. But so it's a great way for me to see the level of play and the level of player that I need to recruit to make our team competitive in the conference.
Hard to believe it's been more than a year now since the pandemic hit. That's crazy, right?
Oh, gosh. Yes.
So what happened? Take us through last year. Your team had just played its first home matches. I believe it was back-to-back days at home after opening on the road when the pandemic hit and things were shut down. And we thought maybe it would just be a few weeks, right? And then all of a sudden, you know, you're told the season is over. So what was your message to the team? What did you tell those seniors whose, again, their careers were suddenly over?
I know, it was so sad. I mean, it was, I think it took time to realize that we weren't able to come back. Like you said, a lot of us thought, okay, maybe in a month or two, we just couldn't believe it. Like the whole world couldn't believe it. And so, yeah, it was really disappointing for the seniors. And, we tried to have as many Zoom calls as we can to, and then those girls just had to move on. And then we kind of continued with the Zoom calls with the new freshmen coming in, which, was really hard. So it's been a lot of work to be able to get to where we are competing now. And obviously with all the testing and just all the protocols. But we're really fortunate, obviously, as we know, to be at UCSD where they've just done things right. So even though we're having to test 3-4 times a week, they've made it really easy for us. And, it was tough practicing in the beginning with masks. It was tough not knowing if we're going to have a season, but, we made it through and we're all kind of doing what we can do to finish the season and get something out of it.
You mentioned a moment ago something that's interesting, that your team has played 4 matches at this point, and usually it would be about 15 at this time of year. But yeah. You also lost, obviously, the rest of last season, but not only that, the summer and much of the fall, which was so different. So how did you, whether it was the new recruits or even the returning players, how did you keep them in shape and keep them on task and keep up with their progress while you were either remote or even if you were on site, but it was distanced and very different?
Well, everything was shut down over the summer. So all the girls that, had these great plans to play tournaments and, work out with their pros at home. Obviously, none of them could do that because they couldn't even get on a court. So everyone lost a lot of, their tennis. So we were able to give them workouts that they could do and be creative. I was giving them websites to go to, stay fit. But, it's hard when they're stuck at home. None of them could really do what they had to do. And then in the fall, APU started up pretty quick. It was gradual, but, we were able to get them. They took their time letting the athletes come back into shape because they knew they weren't going to be ready. And so it was very gradual. So I think now we're finally starting to see in the last few weeks, really playing a lot better than they were, because they were pretty much stuck in time and hadn't made any progress since March of last year, just like every school, so I think we're not finally seeing some improvement with everybody now, and they're back on track, and hopefully things will continue to go as they are, and that over the summer they can play all those tournaments that they missed out on and keep improving till for next fall.
And what about for you personally? What was the hardest part of the pandemic, maybe at first when things changed and shut down?
Not being able to play my pickleball, which is what I do. So, my life pretty much continued on. I didn't have any huge setbacks, I think. Obviously, them being careful like everybody else. And eventually I got back to my sport that I love and continued to play that a lot. So, everyone in my family was being careful. I wasn't able to, see my kids as much. But other than that, things have been pretty good.
Yeah, this is the second time in the last few weeks we've been talking pickleball on our show. Judy Sweet was telling us that she plays pickleball all the time. How'd you get involved with that sport?
I know. I helped Judy Sweet in the beginning. She came to my club, and I've played with her a couple times because she had just taken up the sport and knew that I played a lot. So, yeah, it's I play about 5 days a week right now, but at private courts just to stay away from the crowds. And, it's just – I've played now, I think, for about 6 years and really gotten into it. A lot of my tennis friends from college play it, and it's a pretty high level and great way to stay fit and so much fun at the same time. So
how much crossover or maybe relation is there between tennis and pickleball?
I think there's a lot. The tennis players definitely learn the game a lot quicker. Racquetball and badminton, have – a good time of playing as well, but the tennis really crosses over a lot. And it really can help your tennis game, actually, just because there's a lot of feel and there's a lot of fitness involved, because even though the court's much smaller, you still really have to move. And you can hit overheads really hard, which is a lot of fun. And there's a lot of crossover. And I wish I had time to have my girls play, because I know they would love it and it would help their tennis, but there's just not the time. So maybe someday.
But is that something that, again, non-COVID, that maybe would happen in the fall with your team?
Yeah, possibly. I hadn't thought about it, but I think some of them have their parents. I know one of my girls just said her parents put a court in her backyard. She showed me a picture actually on the plane coming back from Hawaii.
Wow.
So it's gotten so huge. It's everywhere. So I think they could obviously play even on their own over the summer. And if they like it enough, we could, try that in the fall for sure.
How did you get involved with it originally?
The club that I was playing tennis out of, which was up here in Encinitas, kind of started playing it, and I'd never seen it. And then my closest girlfriend from playing college tennis said, "Hey, have you played any pickleball?" And she invited me to play, and we're like Googling the rules as we're playing on this little court by Moonlight Beach. We were just on this random court. We taped the court up. Someone had a portable net. And then I was playing a lot of tennis at the same time and kind of also playing pickleball. And then pickleball just kind of took over, and I just met so many amazing people. It's just such a welcoming sport. And, I'd play tennis all my life, and had kind of I'm not going to go anywhere more with my tennis. I was still playing league, but not really enjoying it. A lot of my friends had quit tennis because of injuries. And so I started playing pickleball and just fell in love with it and fell in love with the people. And it played ever since.
That's such a fantastic story. Is pickleball maybe more forgiving or less taxing on the body than tennis?
It can be. It's just different. Like you have to be really low with your, legs, because the ball doesn't bounce up. So yes, obviously there's less court to cover, but there's just different muscles that have to be strong. A lot of people that play pickleball right away, they can't move because their backs are so sore. Your quads get really sore because you have to be low. So, you're getting a really good workout every time you play. You're just dripping, because then points are faster. You're not walking around a big court going to pick up balls. You can just get a ball right real quick and start the next point. So in that respect, you're staying – your heart rate's up a lot the whole time you're playing, unless you're between games where you take maybe, a minute break or something. So
I can imagine.
Yeah. And I played some tournaments, which has been great. I played a national tournament, got a bronze medal. And it was fun, traveling around playing the tournaments back before COVID. Not sure if I'll go back to tournaments or not. Just having so much fun with my friends that I play with.
That's fantastic. And so you don't play tennis at all anymore?
I really don't. I hit occasionally, but I don't compete at all. Nope. Which is weird. I never thought I would ever actually give up playing tennis. And it was really weird at first, but now I don't miss it. Because I don't think at this age I could do both sports anymore. You just can't. You just have to kind of, play a certain times a week. I already play probably more than I should, but fortunately my body has held up. But if I did tennis too, there's no way. You want to be able to play sports as long as you can. And if you do too much, then it shortens that life. So stay in shape and just be mindful of how much you are exercising, just so you can keep doing it.
Yeah, definitely. Great advice for sure. You've been coaching at UC San Diego for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
What keeps you coming back year after year?
It gets to a point, well, what else would I do? It's just, I love it. I love the competition. Obviously the environment being around these girls or scholar athletes, is so much fun. As I've always said, it keeps me young. And, Yeah, I just love the challenge of it. I'm obviously very competitive myself, even if it's not in tennis anymore, but in my pickleball. And so it comes out when I coach. And so hopefully I'm still motivating the girls. You know, it's going to end here, I would think, in the next few handful of years. I want to make sure I leave the program, you know, in a good situation for the Big West Conference. And I don't want to wait till it's too late. I want to do it. I want to, you know, retire before it's too late. So I'm not sure when that will be, but, you know, in a handful of years.
Well, we love having you around. So don't feel like you need to hurry out on our account. But is there something that anything left specifically that you want to accomplish in your time as a head coach?
Well, I think just, you know, trying to be competitive within this conference. If we could, you know, be middle of the pack or higher in this conference, I would feel that we've accomplished a lot. And I think if I just recruit the right players, I mean, the campus recruits itself, obviously. I've got, you know, thousands of people emailing me from all over the world all the time. And I just have to pick the right people and keep the program growing. And I think that then I will feel like I've accomplished what I want. And, you know, just for me to be able to say I've coached at all three divisions is an accomplishment in itself. And so I want to make sure that we are respectable competition wise in Division I. And then I think I'll be time to go.
We're in our final moments with Liz LaPlante, the head women's tennis coach at UC San Diego, chatting with your alumni. They speak so fondly of their time here and their time playing for you. What is your favorite part about interacting with alumni once they've obviously graduated and moved on to the real world?
Well, you know, your relationship changes from, you know, from coach player to you're almost more friends. And obviously some of my alumni are, you know, in their 50s. And so, you know, we hang out, we play pickleball. So with some of them, but just seeing them grow up, you know, they grow up so quickly and they make such changes between the time they're freshmen to even graduation, and just being able to have that relationship with them and that friendship it's just awesome. And I love hearing about what they're doing and staying in touch with them and having them, you know, what's the greatest thing is seeing that they have maintained the friendships with their teammates and seeing them in each other's weddings and seeing them play tennis still together. And just knowing that I had a little bit of something in creating those friendships because they had a great time playing for me is so rewarding. And that's kind of what I look forward to with all my players.
All right. A couple of easy ones before we let you go. Your favorite place to eat on campus?
I don't really eat on campus. I eat at the courts with my peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Sorry.
No, that counts. That's a good answer.
I don't really get anywhere else on campus.
What kind of jelly?
I have a raspberry jelly from Trader Joe's.
All right. I love it. And favorite part about road trips generally?
Eating. Getting to eat at good restaurants.
is there serious discussion on menus or where we're stopping, or I mean, how does that come about?
Oh, there's so much serious discussion. And we have a place that we always go to in Tustin. That's our main stop every year, and the girls love it. And so, yeah, these girls love their meals, and there's always great discussion of where we're going to go and what we're going to eat, as I'm sure there is with every team.
Well, yeah, and I would think now that the program is Division I, a lot of the road trips, of course, there's some similarities, but now you're going to new places. So now you got to discover new.
We will have to discover some new places because we've never been to Santa Barbara or San Luis Obispo before ever. So yeah, it's going to be fun to find some new restaurants. And I have some girls that, you know, are very strict vegetarians and have other things that they can't eat. So we're going to have to really be creative in where we go. So it'll be fun to find those new places.
And is that, are you driving that boat or is that a captain's decision or how do these things come about?
No, I always let them decide.
Gotcha.
I go, you guys decide where you want to go. I mean, they know that we have budget restrictions. I don't have anything to do with it. I just go, okay, what time are we going? Where are we going to meet? You know, and I'll drive you there. So,
and for most road trips, you're in vans, correct? And is that you driving?
We took our first bus this year, which up to Fullerton because they wouldn't let us drive. But we go to Irvine this weekend and they're actually letting the coach and I drive our separate vans. So we always drive.
Do you enjoy that part or do you like the bus better?
You know, I thought the bus would be kind of odd, but it actually was fine. And I actually thought, wow, this is kind of nice not having to stress out about, not that I stress out about driving. I've done it for so many years. I don't think twice about it, but it actually was kind of nice not having to drive, but we're back driving. So that's okay.
So when you're driving, is there a fight for the front seat or who's controlling the radio? I mean, those are tough.
Usually I designate a captain. Since we have two vans, I have designated a captain in each van. And those captains are usually the navigators. So I let them be in charge of the radio and they navigate. And, unless there's someone that gets car sick or something, then those people have to be in the front. But that's how we do it.
I love it. Well, Liz, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Well, thanks, Jim. I appreciate you asking me and look forward to seeing you on the court soon.
Wow, Jeff, what a great conversation with Liz. I feel like I learned so much about her. And I mean, I knew that she'd accomplished a lot, but the fact that she accomplished so much at such a young age early on in her coaching career and while she was pregnant even, it all just is so incredible.
Right. I mean, we spend so much time on these podcasts, Jenny, talking with scholar athletes and alumni about school life balance and balancing obligations. But man, that's a prime example of what Liz was able to do, coaching a team to a national championship days before giving birth to a child. I can't imagine what that was like, but man, that's impressive.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I can't even imagine it either. And just having that success and just balancing everything, like you said, is just an impressive feat and one that I think a lot of people take for granted when they're watching sports, but just knowing that these coaches have busy personal lives of their own is a good reminder.
It is. And we'd be remiss if we didn't come back to the pickleball. I mean, my goodness, like this has got to be a thing, right?
Yeah, I think so. I've heard of some friends picking it up during the pandemic. And clearly with Liz picking it up and Judy, it's definitely a popular thing right now.
Well, if we don't get a rec team going, then we're doing something wrong.
I agree.
Well, you won't want to miss all new episodes of TritonCast in the month of April. Join us as we chat about the most interesting UC San Diego Scholar athletes, alumni, and coaches. They'll share their amazing Triton stories you won't hear anywhere else. New episodes of TritonCast premiere each Wednesday.
Thanks so much for listening to this week's show. Don't forget, you can find us on all your favorite podcast platforms like Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, Audible, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, and Verbal.
For more on TritonCast, follow us on Twitter at TritonCast. And if you've got suggestions for a future guest or other feedback on the show, send us a tweet or email Jenny and me. Our email address is TritonCast@UCSD.edu. We'll see you back here next week.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@UCSD.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter at TritonCast.